Thanks for finding us on this hump day. June 26th, Andrew Filippone, Chris Muller, Donnie Football. A lot going on in Cincinnati. We will turn our attention there soon enough. We'll do a live reaction to that show later on. So hang out with us until that one goes final, and then we will break it all down for sure. A lot to do until then. Tyler Kennedy going to jump on with us and preview the Penguins offseason because we are less than a week away from free agency. And Aditi's going to come on a little bit early before this Pirates game goes final, and we'll do all access with her around 3 o'clock. Apparently, Cabali went on with the midday guys and started pleading the fifth with them, not wanting to answer questions.
Didn't want to self-incriminate. That's what the fifth is all about. The Fifth Amendment is you can invoke your right to not self-incriminate.
It's always been a dream of mine to do that.
I love the old Chappelle Show skit. I plead the fifth.
How badass would it be?
But that means you're embroiled in some sort of legitimately felonious, you know, trial, like where
no,
you could be.
Maybe you're brought in as a witness and you just want to plead the fifth on something. I think I would plead the fifth.
Like, is your name Andrew Filippone? I plead the fifth.
I just would want to plead the fifth one time.
You'd pick a random innocuous question you didn't think had much to do with anything. You'd say, you know what? I plead the fifth. Waiter, I'll have a Sam Jackson.
Do you think we have one human being listening to the show right now who has pled the fifth?
Yes. If you've pled the fifth in a trial, 412-928-9370. If you have invoked...
Oh, Sonny is in trouble now. These lines are lighting up with people that have pled the fifth before.
If you have invoked your Fifth Amendment right to not self-incriminate, and if I'm butchering what that actually is, my bad. If you have invoked the Fifth Amendment on the witness stand, we want to hear from you.
412-928-9370.
This could get bad in a hurry.
Speaking of Cabali, we have Steelers offseason fodder. 5 weeks away from training camp. Cabali in his mailbag saying that the Steelers need to give Justin Fields an extension, but he doesn't want or he doesn't think they would give him the Jordan Love deal. So what is the Jordan Love deal? Instead of picking up the fifth-year option on him, they gave him a one-year $13.5 million, basically half of what the fifth-year option is. He doesn't think that they would give him that much.
Then they're obviously risking him jumping into free agency and just saying peace out.
Okay, so here's what some other free agent quarterbacks received this offseason. Tell me if you're Justin Fields.
If you think you deserve more.
If you
more
think
or
you
less.
Would deserve more or less.
Okay, I like this game. Right,
Jacoby Brissett, 1 year, $8 million.
If I were Fields, I feel like I would deserve, I think I deserved more, but I don't think the market would feel that way about him.
Really?
I think
Jacoby Brissett backed up Sam Howell all of last year.
I think Jacoby Brissett is almost seen as, in a way, because he is seen as a known commodity. Like, he is a steady backup.
What is he known as?
He's a steady backup.
He's 18-30 in his career.
What's Justin Fields' record if we're going to play
that game?
Well,
that's what I mean. That's exactly right. So they're both losing quarterbacks.
I mean, Fields, I would think in the open market, somebody would, he and his people would feel like he was much more valuable. He's so much younger than Brissett.
Brissett has never thrown more than 18 touchdown passes in a season.
And Brissett doesn't give you upside. He's a backup. He's a true backup quarterback at this
juncture. When he was Cleveland starter, he went 4-7 with 12 touchdowns and 6 interceptions. That was 2 years ago when he was filling in for Deshaun
Fields,
Watson.
Fields has, you can always say if you're repping him, is it Mulligetta who represents him? David Mulligetta, who did the
it's
Watson
David
deal?
Mulinari.
No, I don't think that's him, actually. Who's he writing for now? He's on his own, or is he with Kingerski?
I think he's with Kingerski.
He's under the Kingerski umbrella.
He's in the hockey
umbrella.
Now. Remember when we had something sponsored by them recently? That might have been a typo, actually, and they just got free pops.
I was just
going
to say, you say remember that. I say no. I actually don't.
Yeah, you do. It was Pittsburgh Sports Now was sponsoring something recently,
I'm
or at least that's what
blanking.
It said on
I'm,
the sheet.
Okay, I'm totally blanking on that, is my point. I think if I were Fields, I'd feel like I deserve more than
Brissett.
W. Brissett.
Agreed.
Yeah. I'd say upside, youth, all that. Next.
Sam Darnold, 1 year, $10 million.
I probably feel like I deserved more than him, too.
Right?
Well, here, like, the Fields thing that just continues to have me saying yes two for two so far, who can move like he can? It's a dimension to his game that who else has it in the NFL?
Here's Darnold's best season, 2019 with the Jets, 7-6 record, 19 touchdowns, 13 interceptions, 3,000 yards. That was his best year.
Not good.
And that came back in 2019. He was 22 years old. It's a long time ago.
He's a lot older than Fields at this point now.
He is multiple years older,
yeah.
Fields is 25.
Fields is still 24, I thought.
Yeah, going to be 25. He just turned 25. So he's 25 years old.
What's Darnold, 28 or 29?
Darnold is going to be 27 this season. All right, so it's only a two-year difference.
Man, I'm not good at math, clearly. Who else is on this list?
Gardner Minshew, $12.5 million a year from the Raiders.
I don't know. That's where it gets a little dicey. He's got a higher ceiling. He's performed at a higher level than either of the two guys you mentioned prior. But like, here's the question I have for you, like the very just basic question. Is Gardner Minshew good, or is it just fun to watch him when he's playing well?
His numbers every year are good, but same problem with Fields. His teams tend to not win a lot of games.
Is he good or not? And I know you can ask this question about Justin
15,
Fields.
15 touchdowns, 9 picks last year, 7-6.
He cooked the Steelers in that game.
These are all guys that you'd want as your backup quarterback and not your starting quarterback.
Correct.
And Minshew is at 12.5, which is only $1 million less than the number that Kabbali said
the Steelers wouldn't touch. What do you think they would touch? What do you think is their pain tolerance for 1 year with Fields, say, on a deal? To say nothing of what he wants, right? Let's just guess what they would be willing to pay him, whether they thought he would take it or not. Brissett?
I think they'd do 10.
So they'd get him to 8 figures, but they would not go to the Love deal. So it'd be a matter, it'd be, in the end, small potatoes.
Hold on a second, though. I'm going to actually edit myself. Why would they give Fields $10 million right now if they think that Russell Wilson is going to be good this season?
That has always been
they'd want to at least
thing.
Leave the door open, because even if Wilson gives them a discount next year, mm-hmm. it's still going to be around $30 million. And if you already have Fields on the roster at 10, you're going to pay those two guys a combined $40 million.
That's what's always been at odds with and it's my perception too. I've gone along with it, and the sort of reported perception that they need to get something done with Fields. It's been weird to try to watch those two thought processes exist peacefully, that they believe Russell Wilson's going to be really good and they also want to lock down Justin Fields in some way, shape, or form. If you think Russell Wilson's going to be really good, you think he's going to be your quarterback for what, at least 3 years after this? Like, play till he's around 40? I mean, the guy's going out there boxing with Freddie Roach. He's clearly trying to keep himself in shape. Then what do you do with, like, who was it that wrote that the Steelers' pursuit of Fields, was it Kabbali who wrote it, just they needed a backup quarterback? That's the bottom line?
No, that's what Fittipaldo said.
That's right, okay. Like, if that's really how they feel about Justin Fields, then you shouldn't expect them to give him anything above and beyond kind of normal backup quarterback money.
No, and the thing is, all of these guys that are making a lot of money as backups, there's a cheap rookie quarterback on the roster. So Brissett is making $8 million because Drake May's the rookie quarterback. Darnold's making $10 in Minnesota because they have J.J. McCarthy there.
And while Russell Wilson's making on rookie money, he won't be next year.
Exactly.
Like other rookies.
Minshew's making $12.5 million because they have Aiden O'Connell there. Mitch Trubisky was making a lot of money as a backup because the Steelers had Kenny Pickett.
No, you can't do that, though, if you're the Steelers on any kind of multi-year deal.
Yes,
because if Russell Wilson balls out, suddenly
right,
he's making $38 million.
If you give Fields that money and you lock him in next year at that price, you turn Russell Wilson into a lame duck quarterback before the season even starts. And I don't think they'd want to do that to him. I don't think that they would want to create like a controversial aspect, make it seem like it's a foregone conclusion that it's one and done for him here.
Particularly if they like him as much as they say they do. Why? Because your actions would speak much louder than your words about the player. But we know that the head coach at bare minimum loves Fields.
Mm-hmm.
And frankly, I bet you the rest of the brain trust does, Weidel and Kahn, because they understand that quarterbacks who can move are valuable and tough to stop, and that that's a huge commodity that you want if you have a chance to get it. They got two guys that they claim they like for different reasons, probably, and want to keep, and it just doesn't seem like they're going to be able to have their cake and eat it too here. Like, my likeliest guess
they're
as
not
to how going to
be
goes,
able to keep two for next year. One is going to be gone.
Yeah, well, my likeliest
bare minimum
guess,
one is gone.
My likeliest guess as to how this plays out is as follows, and you probably disagree because I know I'm on a little bit of an island, at least on this show. I think Wilson plays pretty well. I think they're a winning football team, more than likely. They might even get into the playoffs and either have a competitive game or win one. And then I honestly believe that he will go somewhere else for big money and that they won't want to tie themselves to a guy, even after having watched him play pretty well, they won't want to tie themselves to a guy in his late 30s, no matter how good a shape he's keeping himself in for the next several years.
Well, that's where the Tomlin relationship with Fields comes into play and guys wanting to play for Tomlin. If Wilson has the kind of season that you're describing and it's just not good enough to want to pay someone in their late 30s to continue on as the starting quarterback, even though Fields at that point would be a free agent, Tomlin and the Steelers convince him before he goes into free agency,
"You're our guy.
You were in the system for a year watching. This is your best place to start. Now we'll give you the Gardner Minshew deal of, you know, 2 years, $25 million to be
and you're the guy.
Our quarterback." Yeah. Why rush to do that now? It makes no sense to do it right now.
You know what matters to me in all this? How transparent were they with Fields about what they saw his role being? If they, from the beginning, traded for him and said, "You really are the backup. We want you to do kind of a reset. We might use you. We believe in you if we need to go to you, but it's Russ's job. We want you to basically sit and recalibrate for a year." If they were that upfront with him and very clear about what their motivations were, then I think that becomes easier to do.
They told him that he could compete for the job, but they also told Russell Wilson that he was the starter when they signed him.
So I don't, like, I know Fields has said all the right things about, like, "I'm treating this still like a competition," but I feel like he's also a smart enough guy to know what the situation actually is, don't you?
Yes, you know what I think in his heart of hearts he thinks it is? This guy sucked in Denver 2 years ago. He was benched at the end of the year in Denver. "I'm going to get my shot at some point this year." He's already said that. "I don't intend on carrying a clipboard the entire season." I think that's him tacitly saying Mike Tomlin's going to have a light bulb moment where Russell Wilson he views as the quarterback that gives them an inferior chance to win compared to me.
I would be careful to think that if I were Fields for this reason. Russell Wilson has a much longer career track record than he does of being good. I know what Tomlin's feelings clearly are. I know Russ is not a mobile guy anymore. But I would be very careful if I were Fields pinning too many of my hopes on that sentiment.
"15 minutes away from Tyler Kennedy on the Penguins offseason. We are into the hockey offseason. The Penguins have been sitting around for more than 2 months. Stanley Cup final wrapped up Monday night. I think the awards are tonight.
They've got their little momentum week.
They're in that sphere. In
that
Vegas for the draft. Have you been there?
No, I haven't. I haven't been to Vegas since that sphere went
up. I know people who went to see U2 there and they got sick.
Hello. We were supposed to go to Vegas in like 2 months because some of our neighbors were going out there for a big birthday bash and
Congratulations on all their success.
Couldn't swing it. I think he's out there already.
He's going to be on with Donnie tonight talking about the offseason Penguins to-do list from
Vegas. You know what? Speaking of awards, honestly, I think McDavid, I would respect any athlete who had the balls to do this. It'd be a hockey player, generally.
To give the award back?
No. The opposite. Go on a publicity tour with it.
The Conn Smythe?
Party with the Conn Smythe. Go on, like, I imagine him going on Jimmy Kimmel or something, and Kimmel going, "So, it stinks. You guys did lose the Stanley Cup." And he'd look at the camera and go, "Oh, those guys lost it, Jimmy," and then
he
just
didn't
smirk.
Even come out and take a picture with it, which I thought was a Bush League move.
Yeah, Jaguar, there is a very funny J.S. Jaguar picture where he is standing next to the Conn Smythe trophy and just looks like somebody shot his dog. But that's what we, the sporting public, deserve, is a very awkward, memorable
somebody
picture.
Somebody asked a great question about that. Where is the Conn Smythe on the plane?
Does he sit next to it?
Do they just put it with the
luggage? Toss it in the back? Yeah, does he even want to see it? It's a reminder of you were the best player in the series, or the best player in the playoffs, and your team lost.
Okay, so this is ignorant of me. Do they make a new Conn Smythe trophy every year? Or is it like the Stanley Cup where you have it for a little bit and then you give it back and it ends up in the Hockey Hall of Fame?
I think that they have replica ones that they might make where like the player might be able to keep one.
So Sidney Crosby owns two Conn Smythes in his house somewhere. Mario has two Conn Smythes sitting around.
This is ignorance on my part.
Malkin has one over in Russia that he just keeps.
Or Florida, yeah. I mean, I always thought that they made a replica for the player to keep for their own.
Donnie, see if you can get an answer on that. Are there more than one Conn Smythe? Is there just one Conn Smythe trophy?
Sonny says no.
Just one?
So that means that McDavid has to give it back.
Like when you
or maybe he never took it in the first place. Maybe he said, you can keep it. I don't even want to.
That would be like truly just left it in like Florida.
I don't need a picture with it.
Left it in a storage room.
You said there's one in the Hall of Fame and one they give to the player.
Sonny Gray is kind of an authority on this. You know you're not allowed to wear the Augusta green jacket.
Okay,
off
but
the
that
grounds,
doesn't answer the question. The one that they give the player, Sonny, does the player get to keep it? No. So he has to. So the player has to give it back. Well, how long does the player have with it? It's got to be more than one day. I don't know.
Probably till the next season starts.
Did you guys? So you said Russell Wilson's boxing.
Apparently, somebody Donnie told me he was working out with Freddie Roach, Pacquiao's old trainer.
For what? For what reason?
I'm assuming cardio, usually. And like, you know what he probably would say? Like Russ would get very in depth on it. He'd probably say cardio and quick twitch.
Man, that's a big difference from Roethlisberger's off-season workout plan of light beer, yoga.
Ben also boxed. He went to like a carnival and did one of those how hard can you punch things.
But he boxed. He got a boxed lunch from the golf course at the turn. That was Ben's box. He got a turkey sandwich with a bag of chips in there. That was his boxing. I love you, Ben, but still. Remember Ryan Burr came on and said he was in the greatest shape
Ryan
of his
Burr
life, had lost so
had
much weight
more
that the Steelers were worried that he had gotten too skinny.
He also said...
I love Ryan. That was just hilarious.
He also said he was on a stricter diet than TB12. And he... Donnie, were you producing us at this point? I don't think you were.
It was right around that time.
So...
But do you remember him saying those things?
Yes, I do remember all that stuff.
He was being, like, because it sounds funny, and if he was saying it sarcastically, it would have been one thing, but he was dead serious. That's as mad as I've ever gotten at an interview guest.
And
he and I were shouting at each other.
Ryan is so connected in the golf world that he gets scooped sometimes. He had that story on the Patriots that there was a falling out between Belichick and Brady's trainer before anybody else.
Yeah. Which he would have gotten from what, like... Which one of them golf?
Somewhere Belichick? In the golf circles, the golf community.
That big golf community. Did
well, a
you
lot
see...
of business gets done on the golf course, Melzy. You know that.
I did know that. And for how much I golf, you'd think I'd be better at doing business. Did you see the dude who qualified for Rocket Mortgage and did three? So the story was the guy's a Golf Galaxy employee who's trying to be a pro. He shot a 65 at this qualifier, then had to sweat it out and wait. He was so nervous during the waiting period to see if his score would hold up that he chugged three beers, found out he had to go back on the course for a 5-players-for-4-spots qualifier. The thing went 8 holes long, Pony. He had to keep making shots and putts to stay in this thing, and then he won it. So some random dude who works at a Golf Galaxy somewhere is going to be playing in a PGA Tour event.
And if he makes the cut, will he get the money?
I think he is, like, technically a professional golfer, so yes. I think he is. How does the PGA Tour, by the way, quickly screw that up? Kevin Kisner, who's known as a pretty good player, not a guy who contends that much anymore,
okay,
but who also is like a very good time, and is like he's done like the barstool golf stuff at Old Stonewall, where he played hungover and shot 64, that kind of thing. He basically begged to be paired with this guy so they'd have fun together. The guy would probably not be as nervous.
Is Daly playing in this event?
No. Kisner's the closest thing to Daly. He's way skinnier. He just likes to have a good time. PGA Tour. No, we don't care. We're just putting him with random people. Why?
I have something Steelers related that I wanted to bring to Donnie's attention, and I want to see if Donnie agrees with this. There is scuttlebutt out there that, now there's a lot of scuttlebutt on the Steelers radio play-by-play job. Tim Benz wrote something about that today, how
scuttled and butt.
How there's Pompey Annie, there's Rob King, and then there's a mystery candidate.
A mystery
from outside
candidate.
Of Pittsburgh, yes.
From parts unknown.
Exactly. From, what's that place in New Mexico?
Truth or Consequences.
Truth or Consequences. That's where New Cactus Mexico. Jack's from, isn't it?
Yes. So there's a mystery person. Now, we know that whoever it is will be working with Craig Wolfley.
Jaluch.
We love Craig Wolfley on this show.
Mm-hmm.
There's a rumor going around that Craig Wolfley gave his Twitter account to someone.
What?
That it's that Craig Wolfley on Twitter is not actually Craig Wolfley. That some he sold it or gave it away, almost like AB with his account. I don't know if it's the same people. But Craig Wolfley has turned into this human being on Twitter who posts things and comments on things nonstop. He's verified.
I accidentally had him blocked because of that blue blocker thing. I just unblocked him and followed him. So I hope that didn't upset the
big solution. Is there big money in that where you would take your Twitter account because it has
let somebody monetize it? But why? Well, he's posting Syracuse clips here too.
Or has Craig Wolfley at 70 years old or whatever he is now just become obsessed with Twitter?
But everything he's doing is still like Steelers related. It's more believable to me that somebody
runs it for him. But everything AB does is still like AB adjacent. It's about football. It's about sex. It's about making fun of people. Like, it's still things that are in the AB personality.
In the AB sphere.
Yes. What do you think, Donnie? You think it's actually him?
I mean, I never really even thought that it would be somebody else.
Would Craig Wolfley have gone to Twitter and paid for Twitter to get verified? Does he strike you as a human being that would do that?
I think he's got somebody running it for him, like it's his brand. Would Craig Wolfley's Twitter name...
Since when is Wolfley a brand? Is he?
Here's my thing. Would Craig Wolfley, after paying for the blue check mark, you know, you put your name and how you want it displayed. It says Craig Wolfley, and then it's a football emoji, a microphone emoji, headphone emoji, and then another microphone emoji. Is he making his
name... Do your parents use emojis?
No! My parents don't use Twitter.
Does John Football do emojis?
No, he's not an emoji guy.
I mean, Wolfley does not, again, somebody is blood and guts offensive lineman. He doesn't strike me as an emoji guy.
What if there was an emoji for Chalooch?
What would it even look like?
Who knows?
I'm just fascinated. I'm
talking about boxing. You got me, Chalooch.
I'm just fascinated by this, that here is like your...
Here's Wolf.
Yeah, here is your meat and potatoes offensive lineman who has now become this social media... Maven.
I don't think it's him. It's people, like we said, AB's tweets, you could always tell when he would actually have control of the account versus when like a very polished social media manager would do it. They read very differently. Wolfley's tweets, the rare ones where he's not retweeting something, I could imagine him writing it out that way. But
why would you ever want to give your social media account over to someone? Case in point, what if the person running his account accidentally stepped in it? Posted something.
Well, now nobody can see the stuff you like, so it would have to be a post.
No, I know that, but just say he did that.
Yeah.
You'd have to come out afterwards and say, well, actually, that wasn't me. I just gave someone who was pretending to be me my account.
Not pretending. No, writing stuff in my stead.
Well,
or
it doesn't
me.
Say manage it's a parody account. It says it's him.
Yes, that's what I mean. I think he might be paying somebody to run his account for him and basically retweet things Craig Wolfley would retweet.
But how do they know everything he likes and would
he
want
might tell,
out there?
Hey, Chalooch, put that out there. I like that video.
I don't think he's spending the time to do that.
Do we think it's his son? Didn't you guys meet his son one time?
Oh, yeah.
That could be.
Yeah, that was a legendary kid, too.
That absolutely probably is what's happening here.
But still, what if he accidentally posts something that is not consistent with the Wolfley brand?
Take it down, Chalooch.
Kennedy! 2 days away from the NHL draft, the Penguins don't have their first round pick because of the Erik Karlsson deal. NHL free agency is only 5 days away. Monday, July 1st. For more on that, we welcome in Penguin Stanley Cup champion. One man said it was all downhill after the tic-tac-toe goal. That was not true. Tyler made millions of dollars after that also. I think had a goal in game six, no?
He did.
Right.
So. Yeah, game winner.
He had the game winner in game six. Crowley's head just squarely planted right up his ass when he said that.
Tyler Kennedy back with us. Yeah, Tyler?
You better wake up, Butts. Come on. Game six winner? Are you kidding me?
That was pretty sweet. Hey, Tyler, there's a rumor out there that Jacob Trouba is going to be let go by the Rangers here. How would you feel about the Penguins bringing him in?
I'd rather him than Karlsson.
Wow.
You can't have two offensive guys that are willing to go up the ice and take chances. Like, how'd it work out this year? And I think they're looking for a rough and tough defenseman that's a little bit feared. Like, you talk to anyone out there that's played or knows the Penguins, the first thing they say is they need a little bit more sandpaper, a little bit more toughness around their team. They're too easy to play against. And I think getting a guy like Trouba, again, like, I remember playing against guys like Cornwall in Detroit, like, every shift I went over the boards, like, I knew if he was out there, like, I had to keep my head up. It kept you on your toes, and it sucked to play against. And again, I don't think the Penguins have anyone that's willing to step up and really crush guys. Like, again, I think it'd be a good pickup. I think they need a little bit more toughness, a little more sandpaper. We had one guy that brang it this year with Bunting. We only got him like at the deadline, and he was a big difference maker. You know, like he was something that we were very much in need of.
So what's the you're all human beings. You're not just sports hockey playing robots. What's it like if you bring a guy onto a team, hypothetically, who has a history like Trouba basically does with every team, I feel like? You know, how tough is it for guys to maybe let bygones be bygones about hits that have been delivered in the past?
They're also, you're pretty good about it. Like, I've never went to a team, like, it's a little different because he does crush guys, and it gets a little bit on the line where he takes, you know, he's going to hurt guys, and, you know, some of it aren't the cleanest. But I play with a guy like Matt Cook, and I know he's took some run at some of the guys, but he was welcomed on our team. And, like, so when I got traded to the Islanders, I fought four guys on the Islanders, from Harmonic, Martin, and all those guys. And I think when you go to a team that you've had, like, some bad blood, it's actually nice to have them, you know, to come together so you don't have to worry about them anymore. You know, like, I think if he came here, I think they'd obviously let it go because they'd be really happy that they don't have to play against that guy and worry about them taking their head off.
Tyler, when you bring up the Islanders thing, it just jogged my memory. You were involved in that, like, massive melee where, like, everyone was thrown out of the game, right? Against them, where goalies were fighting and stuff. That was an
insane. They brought up, who was that guy, Trevor Gillies? He was basically Ogie Oglethorpe in the NHL.
That was one of the, that was right out of Slapshot.
Right.
That game. What are your memories of that?
That's when, like, the league was scary. You know, when you went into the island and they had, like, their bottom six were all, like, legit tough. Like, legit knew how to fight. Like, they were, like, meatheads. You know, from Haley to Gillies to Konopka. Like, these guys were, like, legit, like, heavyweight fighters. And the only good thing is we had a lot of tough guys on our team. Like, one thing Ray Shero always made sure that we had enough guys to match up with their guys. But when that happened, like, one, like, you're trying to see who you're going to match up against. And I think I asked a couple guys to go, but no one, and I end up staying in the game. And the best part for me was, one, I was on the power play for 2 minutes every time. I got two goals that game because I played so much more. And I remember, like, Tony Granato, he was like, TK, just grab some. Just grab some and just give it to them. Just feed them their lunch, you know? And I was like, Tony, I'm trying. And, like, again, you're a third line guy. Like, you kind of have to, you know? And I'm like, Tony, I'm asking everybody and your brother. And he was just like, I don't want you to ask. I want you just to throw your hands down, like, throw your mitts down and just start chucking them. And I'm like, I'm looking at Tony. I'm like, Tony, I got two goals right now. And we got a power play. Tony, I've never had a hat trick in the league. Like, I ain't fighting no one right now. I'm getting back on that power play sidewall. Like, I'm living my, you know, my youth hockey dream right now, being the guy on the ice, you know? It was crazy, but...
I still remember Goddard hopping over the boards with very bad intentions in that game.
That guy was a beast.
Big Sheriff Goddard called in to wreck heads, man.
That guy was a massive human.
You know what? So my first year, like, we always had a tough team in Pittsburgh, but my first year we had George LaRocque, and I've never been around a guy that big before. Like, George, like, He was 6'2", Jack. Like, you know the guys that have the six-pack that comes out of their stomach? Mm-hmm. Like, George was like that. He was so jacked and, like, lefty. But he was like a soft teddy bear, you know? But he was, like, very intimidating. Because I was, like, 185 pounds. George was, like, 260. Like, it was insane. Like, if I keep my head up in practice. But when
TK, he always struck me as a guy that would laugh, if so, like, smile at you if you wanted to throw down with him, which would terrify me. Like, I just imagine somebody challenging LaRock and he smirks and he goes, okay. Like, that would be very frightening.
Yeah, he was like that big teddy bear. You know, he was a killer, but he was a big teddy bear with us. I actually lived like this one, too. I have four stories for you. But George, I didn't know where to live. And George, like, hey, you got to come down to the waterfront and live at the waterfront with me and my, you know, live beside me and my girlfriend. And I'm like, I don't know. And then, like, I think Stahl's like, hey, no, you go come live at the Encore downtown. And I'm like, the Encore is like $4,000 a month. Like, I can't afford that. I'm just getting called up. So I went down and lived beside George at the waterfront. 2 weeks after I move in, we wake up in the morning, we come outside of our apartment, and George's Escalade is on, someone stole all of his rims. It was on, like, blocks. I was dying. His truck was on blocks. And I'm like, George, do you think this is good to live here? And then another great story. After we lost in my first year in 08, my mom and dad were down, and it was like 11:30 at night down at the waterfront. And I go, hey, I'm starving. And my mom's like, me and your dad will get you McDonald's down there. So my mom and dad went and got me McDonald's. And my, you know, again, they're from a small town in Canada. And so they go around to pick up the food, and the lady's actually smoking a cigarette inside the store. Inside the restaurant. And my mom goes, are you allowed to do that? And she goes, you just mind your own business. You want your food or not? You know? And it was like, you know, my parents were like, where are you living, Ty? And I'm like, you know, I'm leaving in a week. Like, don't worry about it. But my mom said, like, they were like white. They're like, yeah, we go to the door to pick up the delivery of the food, and this lady's smoking a dart, giving, you know, back, you know, the Big Mac tour, you know?
That is but perfect.
Going back to
Goddard,
Eric Goddard. So Gods, we'd always go the night before training camp, or a couple nights before training camp. But I remember we were at Nakama downtown. You know, all the boys were going out.
Yep.
And I'm like, who is this skinny guy with all these tattoos? They're like, oh, that's Eric Goddard. He's our new tough guy. And I'm like, guys, he's like 210, like he's like only like 220 pounds. They're like, you watch TK. And I'm like, oh, really? Because again, I went from George LaRock that looked like, again, he was
a brick, you know what house, yep, basically. Yeah.
Yeah. And I was like, God, like he, Gods was never big, but he was so good at like being able to want to take a punch to give a punch, but just throwing, like, just knowing how to throw down like the pipe and connecting and stuff. And like, he was the best teammate. He was awesome. And God, was he tough. Like, I've seen him get punched right in the face and just like literally shake it off and just give it to the guy. And I was like, wow, we need this. Cause again, back then playing against Philadelphia, New York, like the Islanders, every team had like three meatheads.
I'm still thinking about Chris missed this last week when you were on, and you were rooting against the Panthers because you hated Ekblad and guys on that team. So Monday must have been a tough one for you, TK.
I know. When he won, I see him carrying that Stanley Cup.
I heard
like
you almost swear right there. I could hear you bite off a little F sound right there about him, I think.
Oh, my God, boys. But you know what? So Paul Maurice is from my hometown.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Such a great dude.
Yeah,
he sounds
like
he's from
it.
Sault Ste. Marie. And just an unbelievable guy. And I met him in the middle of nowhere. I was going fishing with a couple of my buddies. Like, I'm from a small town. We were in the middle of the bush, like 40 miles into the bush. No cell phone service. Boys are just, you know, you go and have fun and go fishing. And Paul Maurice, we end up rolling up on this fishing hole. And Paul Maurice was there by himself. And I'm like, hey, what are you doing here? He goes, guys, I love fishing. And like, I just need to get away from the big city, all the junk. And this is my relaxation. And he was such a cool dude. But that was like the first time I really met him. And it was like, literally like, what are you doing here, dude? You know?
TK, I got one other random one about the final. Obviously, McDavid gets the Conn Smythe. I said I would have a ton of respect for a hockey player if they had the McDavid situation. They got the Conn Smythe as a member of the losing team, and they just said, screw it, I'm going to party with this thing. I'll let like a week pass so that nobody's gonna think too much about it, and then I'm taking that bad boy out to bars. I'm posing with it. I'll hit the talk show circuit if they'll have me. What do you think about that?
Well, I think that's how we would think, you know, and like how we would do it. Like, how, well, I still won my trophy, you know. But those guys like him, Sid, like, they're so driven to be the best and want to win.
He couldn't even come out for the trophy presentation, yeah. TK.
Was that a bad look for him?
Were
you okay with that?
No, I think that's fine. You know, give them their time. They won. And that's not the trophy he's chasing.
Do you think he should have won it?
Pardon?
Do you think he should have won it?
Yeah. Like, I do like to see it on the winner, but like with what he did in like the last four or five games in the finals, like I've never seen a guy make other players look so bad in like the finals, you know, like he was going through like their whole team by himself, putting the team on his back. And like, you know, when he got it, the Florida just went to the house and said, hey, you're going to have to shoot through us or try to dangle four guys, which he did half the time. But like, he's a pretty special player in my opinion. Like, I enjoy watching him. I enjoy, like, when he's on, he's a guy that like builds hockey up because he's entertaining, you know, and he deserves it. You know, I think he deserves it. But again, it's a team sport. You need a full team to win, boys.
Yeah, they had about seven players. No offense to Edmonton. They had him, Draisaitl, although he was MIA in the final, and then like three or four other guys.
Hyman,
Nugent Hopkins, and their top defense pairing. Yeah, I mean, that's about it, TK.
Well, listen to this one, boys. Just imagine if the Penguins had their – like I was talking – if they had their team from like before the expansion, the 4 years ago, when they had Rodriguez – when they had McCann, when they had Matheson. I think the Penguins would have made second, third round with those guys.
Rodriguez kind of reminds me of you, TK. I see a little bit of him in you, Evan Rodriguez.
Yeah, he's a good player. Well, I think he's a little bit more offensively skilled. I think he's a little bit more off. I think he is a gamer, you know, and thank you for saying that. I appreciate it. We might have to put that in the clip, you know, at the beginning of the show.
Yeah.
But no, I think he's good.
Like, you know what he doesn't have that you do on your resume? A 20-goal season. So he can put that in his pipe and smoke it if he wants to.
Yeah.
He doesn't have a 20-goal campaign.
21 goals in one season. You know what? Thanks, Sid and Gino, for getting hurt that year. That made me a lot.
Hey, TK, before we let you run, give us a bold move that you think the Penguins will make either in a trade before free agency day or on July 1st.
They're either going to, like, trade Carlson or Malkin.
Wow.
You know?
That would be the definition of bold.
Well, they got to get Malkin's permission. They got to get Carlson's permission, too, if they're going to trade one of those guys.
Boy,
they got
to sign off on it.
I know.
Like, when you see those teams playing, like, again, I kind of forget how the Penguins play because it's been 2.5 months.
Correct.
Like, we're going in July.
They're not close to those teams that we just saw.
No, they got beat by those teams. Combined score 21-6, 0-5 against them.
They're not close to what we saw in the final.
No, like, we need a lot of help, you know, and I think Dubas knows that, you know, and I think once free agent opens up, like, he's got to make some moves. Like, he can't sit still because, like, that clock is, like, spinning, you know? Like, and with where we were now, like, I think for success for next year is just making the playoffs. Not trying to win, just making the playoffs. Because if we don't have a contender by, like, Thanksgiving, I think you start, you know, you go back into the rebuild mode. Or are they? I don't know.
I think they are just allergic as a franchise to the idea that they will rebuild as long as 87 is who he is.
Correct.
But 87, like, that's not their problem this year. Even Geno, like, again, he had 27 goals, your second. Like, look at Edmonton.
Well, that TK, that almost makes it worse for them, though, because as long as Crosby's good, they'll just say we've got to keep trying to figure out a way to build around him.
Right.
If he fell off, you could at least say, all right, finally, we're going to rebuild this thing.
But, like the problem in, again, there's some bad contracts on that team, but Sid's only making 8.7.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see what that number goes up to next week, because he will get an extension, don't you think? We'll see.
Oh, he should too. He is. I would pay Sid till he's 50 just because of the presence he has in the room and how he is, you know?
Yep.
But like, again, like 8.7, like where is all the money? Like who's making all this besides Carlson?
Ryan Graves, like, making a big chunk of change here.
Well,
Tyler.
How about Tristan Jarry? You think Tristan Jarry could get dealt?
Well, last week he said no, but they've been goalie moves since. And they did sign Nedeljkovic since the last time we talked here, Tyler.
I with them signing Alex, like, I can see a move coming here just because, like, I think that the team, the staff has confidence in Alex taking the net and being a starter if he had to be. And I think they really want to find out, like, I think they really want to find out what the young guys they have can do. Because, you know, even when those two defenses with St. Ivany and who's the other guy got called up?
Oh, St. Ivany and,
why am I blanking? It was somebody.
He's got a short name. Hold on.
Shea?
Yes, Ryan Shea.
Ryan Shea, thank you.
Like, four those letters. Two guys, they should have been up all year.
Correct.
Like, they were pretty rock solid. Like, that's exactly what you're looking for.
How much influence
for guys getting called?
How much influence does a head coach have with something like that? You know, like, maybe
with Sullivan a ton, Chris. I would think. I don't think that he's just being told these are the players you're going to play.
TK, that's why I bring it up. Pony just flat out said it. Like, that does not reflect well on the head coach for me that those guys weren't up earlier in the season, because we know when Sully trusts young guys, he wants them on the NHL club. That's how they won in 16.
But I know, like, so in the NHL, there's GMs that say, hey, here's the team. You coach the team. And I'm trying to think if Dubas is like that. But I know there's a lot of GMs that say, I don't want the say of the coach. I'll build a team and you should coach them. I'll build it, you coach them. It's not going to be like, hey, you're going to be part GM. No, I have my plan. You coach with what you have. And I know there's a lot of GMs that do that, you know, and there's some GMs that, hey, they obviously inquire what the head coach thinks, but I don't know how the relationship is with Sullivan and Dubas.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, with them hiring the Quinn guy, like, we kind of knew they're going to hire someone like that, but, like, I don't know how much of a change that's going to have. Well, you know, like, if Sullivan ever got fired, like, I can't see Quinn stepping in and being a hero, you know, or the guy they need. You know, again, like, they I feel like they need, like, a hard ass be a coach.
Michelle,
you know,
Therian.
Like, you need to, maybe not that hard. Maybe not that hard. I wonder if Therian's still smoking.
Oh, my God. He's still ripping. Breathing, so he's still smoking. My answer is yes.
He and Jim Leland, the old Pirates
would have
manager,
a smoke should, off yeah, like you could not believe.
Have a dart off and
they
just
want to
give
go
those
work
guys
at that McDonald's, Tyler.
A couple
that's
of
a job
cartons
they take.
Each and let's go.
They probably want to date that woman that your parents ran into. All right. Hey, Tyler, I know it's Canada Day, so that's a holiday for you guys, but let's try to get you on Monday to break down these moves, okay?
All right, boys. Have a good weekend.
Yep. Talk to you then. Tyler Kennedy.